Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the Fairy Godmother Project in this morning. Lots to talk about, especially this time of year. And we welcome back to the program. I've been practicing this, Andy. So let me see if I can do this correctly. Andy Ayers, the executive director.
You're the first person to say that. That's cool.
I saw it on Facebook when you made the change. Yeah. You've been married since you came in. And you have always been on this show, Andy McConnell.
So
Andy Ayers is in this morning.
Yeah, it's actually the first time I've been introduced that way after, I guess, 20-some years of being Andy McConnell. So
I had never known you as anything but. And so when I saw that you had changed it on Facebook, I said, well, we're going to make the change here.
Very confusing for so many people. They're like, who is this person?
I know. That's what it's gonna feel like.
Well, so, thank you.
And usually it's so natural just to say it. So I have actually been walking around here this morning like – mumbling it all morning long.
Okay, you sound
so
crazy.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much.
The pictures that you sent were, you are just glowing, which you should be.
Yes.
You don't want to say to somebody, are you really happy?
Yeah, you look kind of unhappy. Are you okay?
You are. And it's just even this morning, you always are high energy and bubbly, but more so. So congratulations
to
Andy Ayers, the executive director of the Fairy Godmother Project. The other thing we're going to do right today is sometimes we can be 45 minutes into the show and we'll say, by the way, this is what the Fairy Godmother Project does. So we're going to say it right away. The Fairy Godmother Project, describe what you do.
Okay, so we support families in the community who have children with pediatric cancer. And we try to take care of their day-to-day needs so they can focus on their family is sort of the overall, overarching idea. Trying to take away some day-to-day stress, like how we do house cleaning, lawn care, we pay bills, we help with meals, and we give guest cards and grocery cards for the families that are currently in treatment. And then for the families who have a child who has passed away, we do support them by helping to pay for the funeral. And we also have programming for after treatment, whether it's after loss or treatment through survivorship as well as bereavement.
A lot that you do, and really with over the past year and a half or so with COVID has just created all kinds of issues, but you've been able to adjust.
Yeah, we have. I mean, it's certainly, in the throes of COVID, I think about that sometimes, about how we made such a quick transition, and I think everyone had to. But I remember standing in the office on Thursday talking to one of my employees and being like, I think we're shutting down and schools are shutting down.
Yeah.
Let's just shut down. And then when the schools come back, we'll come back. Well, that was a while,
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, we just made do, and we shifted what we thought maybe the families would need. We've talked about this before. We did some essentials. So the idea was that the families, it was so scary at the time with so many unknowns, and going out into public was really scary because what if you get it at the grocery store? What if you can? We didn't know. And so we provided household supplies, that were so hard to get, like toilet paper and cleaning products and all those things. So we had volunteers purchase those and then donate them, and then we would have volunteers deliver them. And we went and did that for well over a year. And it really made a difference. It was very helpful to the families.
I remember thinking, and we did a number of shows during the pandemic, but just of how when you get this diagnosis, and just because there was a pandemic didn't mean the diagnosis stopped.
No, it did not.
And just how that turns your world upside down. I just can't imagine what it was like for families dealing with this and going, whether it was to Children's or to MCV or wherever they were going.
Yeah, and then there were the things we heard from parents like, they weren't able to go in with their child because it was one person in. So they would have to, and you imagine that in the beginning stages with all these unknowns, just terrifying. We did the best we could to alleviate it. And it's interesting, too, to look back on it and talk to the families. Some of our families that were remission families and survivor families were sort of like, we survived cancer. Like, this doesn't feel like that big of a deal, yeah, there's unknowns to it, but that was our life for years. And I think, you know, that was one of the things we tried to explain to the community was the similarities and our experiences as we faced COVID and the unknowns and the fears and, you know, would you, someone get it and die and all that stuff is, and couldn't be around friends, couldn't be around family. That's how our families live. For some of them, years and years, you know, some it's brief, but some we have families 3 to 3.5 years in our services. And that's how they go about their day. They wear masks. You know, that's a norm for them. Mm-hmm. You know, we were all like, we have to wear masks. Well, our pediatric cancer families, if their kids' immune system is compromised, they are wearing those masks and they aren't going in public and they aren't spending time with friends. So I think there are a lot of very similar things between our experience as we faced COVID and then the experiences of pediatric cancer families.
It was. I heard that from you. And I also heard Special Olympics said the same thing, the isolation and sometimes mm-hmm. the families feel. And they said, this is what our families oftentimes feel.
And the loneliness of trying to face this huge thing and not really knowing how to navigate it and not really having anyone by your side to do it.
This week was Giving Tuesday was the other day, and I know that if you didn't participate in Giving Tuesday or forgot for whatever reason, you still can do that kind of thing, and Fairy Godmother Project involved in that kind of thing, and if you want to give to Fairy Godmother Project, that is always welcome.
Absolutely. We did a kind of a push, not necessarily for donations, but for blood donations, because we are doing a blood drive in February, and also for trying to get people to donate their time. We need volunteers. And so that was really kind of our social media push was our ask. I mean, a donation is always wonderful, but those are two things that we really do need. We have, we're trying to do the blood donations because so many of our families need blood. And so in honor of all the kids we've served, we're doing that, so.
Which is, and especially now, there's a huge
shortage. Oh my gosh, do you get blood? Because I get the emails regularly.
we
need you.
Yeah, no, it is a major thing, mm-hmm. and especially for those families. And if you've been a family and seen your child just as pale white as you can imagine, and then you see them getting blood, and it and just their just the color change, it changes you. You decide. Yeah. I will give.
Yes, absolutely. And I was, I asked Amy Hardy recently, like just to gather information. I said something like, you know, how many times did Josh have to get blood? And she said, too many to count. I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think about that and how powerful that can be that, you know, and obviously like anyone who donates to our drive, it's not necessarily going to go directly to pediatric cancer, but it's just the idea of it.
Yeah.
That, you know, it does matter.
We always felt, whenever, and it was the same thing that we dealt with, and we always felt like we just would always just say thank you to whoever that was.
And it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about it. Yeah. And I get rejected regularly from it. Like, I end up, like, I have, you know, low iron or something, but I mm-hmm. always go back. They're like, just come back. You can come back in 48 hours.
Yeah.
And so, like, I just timed mine up. The next one is next week so that I can still give at our drive on February 7th.
Now, after I had cancer and I can't give now, and it just has always broken my heart because I gave regularly and was going to get all these high – was going to get, you know, those pins and all of that. And no. So I try to get others to do it and
well,
to
you,
say
– how about if you volunteer at our blood drive? That's a way for you to give back.
I could give back that
you
way.
You could. Yeah, you
looks
should.
Looks like I will be.
Oh, look at that. Did everybody hear that?
Looks like I will be. Give me the date, and I'll come.
February
7th. Okay,
all right,
I'll do
great.
It. That is awesome. Good. That is a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd love to have you.
No one has ever – actually, I'll leave it to you to just
I know. No, everyone's going to ask you.
Ask that question. Right, we're having a blood drive. We need
we
you there.
We heard Ted Schubel's on board for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know, that is a good way. I have actually never, ever thought about doing that.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
And we're planning to do this at least once a year, so
okay. We're
signing you up.
Okay. I'll be there to help.
Great.
I'll do something. Andy Ayers with the Fairy Godmother Project in this morning, fairygodmotherproject.org. Quick break. We'll come back. As we go along this morning, we're going to talk about dealing with families in these situations during the holidays and how to do that. When we come back, we'll continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy Ayers here, the executive director of the Fairy Godmother Project. Andy Ayers, formerly known as Andy McConnell.
I'm like Prince.
Yeah, exactly. It just occurred to me. FairyGodmotherProject.org, also a great Facebook page that will keep you up on everything. It's so interesting always following your Facebook page just to see some of the families come up that mm-hmm. we've all, in a lot of names that, yeah. that come up. And boy, the holidays, I know, are a difficult time for families.
And I think people often think about, like, well, because of grief. But they're also difficult for our families who are in treatment, you know, because their lives are completely shifted, too. You know, treatment doesn't stop because Christmas is coming. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they may have to have treatment on Christmas Eve, and then their child could be sick for the whole holiday, you know. And, like, of course, they try and navigate around those things, but treatment doesn't stop. And that's the unfortunate reality.
That is so interesting that you mentioned that, because it was 21 years ago yesterday that we began our journey mm-hmm. of going down for the first time. We had received a call on November 30th at about 10 o'clock at night from our pediatrician saying, I'm looking at numbers here. And this gave me great insight to just doctors and pediatricians mm-hmm. and how caring they are, because
absolutely.
Our doctor was just terrific. And she said, I don't like the numbers. I don't like what other health providers are telling you. I want you to go down and see my friend at MCV. I've said I want you down there at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. So right away, you know.
Right. Something isn't right.
Something's not right. So we went down on December 1st, and that began the journey for us. And so
how many years was it? Was
that
it
was
three?
That we were involved with treatment? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The real intensive stuff for about a year and a half mm-hmm. of every 3 months going down and spending a week, or every 3 weeks going down and spending a weekend in the hospital. But initially, we were there over Christmas, he was out of the hospital and he was home for Christmas, which was just it was thrilling to have that. But he was on prednisone, mm-hmm. and so he didn't look similar, and he almost ate a whole turkey.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I bet did he get angry at all? Like, did he have any rage with the steroids?
Because you had to be careful with it. It really was. Don't set him off.
Yeah, exactly. And I've heard that from a lot of families. It's like walking on eggshells mm-hmm. because they can be completely happy. And then, you know, I've heard moms say, like, well, it's a steroid week. Like,
right.
Yeah. So we need to be cautious here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's no joke. And I think, you know, the more you learn about it, and obviously you know it well, you realize how just day to day is really hard and can be touch and go on the child's behavior, on the child's needs, on the child's wants. And, you know, it's so much more than just we go down for treatment every 3 weeks. You know, the effect of the treatment then leaves the child sometimes vomiting, not wanting to eat, not feeling well. Mm-hmm. Then the next week, they're on steroids or whatever the order is. And then the next week, it's, oh, gosh, we got to watch the numbers because they're, what is it, A1, what is it? What is if you're immunocompromised.
I know.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And then that's too low. So then you're like, oh, my gosh, it's too low for them even to get treatment. And then it's this, like, mm-hmm. it's just this constant. Nothing is definite. Like, that's the reality of it. And so then you add the holidays that are already a stressful time for families, you know, because they're trying to get everything everyone wants, which can be a financial burden. You know, it's just a really difficult time, I think, for the community at large, right? Like, we got to meet all these kids' needs, and then you add to it that you're dealing with a child's cancer, and that's hard. But then you deal, the other part of it is our families who are, you know, missing a child, that child isn't at the table.
Right.
And so I think every family we serve has their own individual issues that make the holidays not as much fun as they should be, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and for our families who have lost a child, I posted something a few weeks ago about that, just as we were like on the cusp of Thanksgiving. You know, whatever you see these people doing, don't judge it. Some of them may literally, mm-hmm. their house may look like lights exploded on it. So be it. Some may not decorate. They may leave town. They may, you know, so many different ways to manage it, but it's all within normal range of how they're handling their grief. And instead of looking at it and saying, well, you should do this,
right?
maybe just what can I do to help would be a better approach. You know, yeah. I think lots of times we like to push our stuff on other people and tell them what they should do. No one really wants to be told what they should do.
No. No. And we dealt with all of those mm-hmm. situations.
I'm sure.
Of neighbors telling us, this is why this is happening.
Oh, I remember you telling me that. Oh, goodness.
And that
gracious.
Was just so hard to listen to and not just blow up, but just figuring if I blow up, it's just going to make it worse down the line.
Right.
To people just saying, here, why don't you know, we found that having phone cards was just really helpful. Why don't you take a couple of phone cards
and shove it in your mouth? Yeah. And stop saying rude things.
Yes. Or you had people saying, here, you know, I made a casserole tonight and I thought, why don't I make a second one for the soup?
Isn't that nice?
And so there were those kind of things.
Right. And I think what people have a tendency to do, it's human nature, we want to help solve. Right? Like, mm-hmm. oh, this makes me uncomfortable. This is a hard thing. So either people turn away and go, ooh, too much for me, or they tell the families maybe what they should do. Have you looked at this? Have you tried St. Jude's? You know what you should do? You should change what he's eating. Because what I heard was when I was listening to some random podcast, and instead it would serve these families much better if you just listened. You know, people always say, you're so good with these families. And remarkably, for how much I talk on this show, I don't say much to the families. I just listen. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't make suggestions. I don't, unless they're asking, like, do you have the name of a therapist? Or, you know, I just asked the families recently, like, what's hardest about the holidays? And, you know, one mom said, I mean, decorating. Like, the idea of decorating. But I know I have to do it for my other family members. But the idea of decorating my house, just I can't do it. And I sent her a message and I said, tell me when and I will be there and I will help you decorate. I'm not good at it. I can't make any guarantees on how it will look, but I'll do it. But, you know, there's for every family, it was every response was different.
Yeah.
You know, it was different. It was Christmas cards. Sending a Christmas card is painful. So I said, do you send a Christmas card? Like, do you do one with like a photo of your child, like you're holding it or something? And her response was, no, we just completely stopped them after he died. And then other families might send a Christmas card with the family holding a photo of their child, or they might include a photo on that from, you know, before the child passed away. But everyone handles it different, and it's all within their processing of it. And so, you know, I mean, Amy Hardy's talked about her
cutouts
of Josh.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's gotten some feedback from people like that they don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of her grief process. And it's her, you know, she told a story. I think she was on here one time. She told a story about like they were going someplace and they hadn't brought the cutout. And one of the boys was like, you need to go. We need to turn around.
Yeah. We need to go get it.
We need to go get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just part of their process. And to some, it may be, you know, part of the training we do with our volunteers that are preparing to work with these families is like, some of it might make you uncomfortable, but it's not yours. And so you just have to, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes humor is used that could be very offensive to someone else, but it's how they're coping. And so you just kind of have to go along with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And just eat little things, because when you talk about the holidays and treatment not stopping, I can remember our first year. We had to go down on the day after Christmas.
Ugh.
And spent the day in the clinic. And so the kids were all, they were out of school. And so we took them down there. Somebody knew that we were down there, called us up and said, I'm going to come over. I'll come over to the clinic. I'll pick your kids up.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm going to take them around. We're going to go around. We're going to go to the Children's Museum and go to all these things down in Richmond. And when you're done, you call us and I'll bring them back.
Oh, my gosh. What a gift.
And that was. And it was just somebody that knew it. And they said, well, I'm off. I'll just drive down to Richmond.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think sometimes people do the dance of, I don't want to be presumptuous. But for these families, one of our moms has always said, like, in the beginning when her child was diagnosed, people would say, well, what do you need? And she said, I have no idea.
No.
And she said, but what was amazing was, she's like, but Fairy Godmother Project knew. Like, mm-hmm. before they were even out of the hospital, we had gone into their home and cleaned it. Like, they got diagnosed, say, on like a Saturday. We heard about them Sunday, got them connected. and we had someone in their home that week, and then they came home 4 days later or something, and they came home to a clean house, which is one of the things that she was most concerned about, because they had said, you know, his immune system is compromised now. And, yeah. Like, you know, and sometimes it's better just to say, instead of, well, let me know if you need anything. How many times have you heard that? And how many times have you reached out to that person?
Never.
Never.
Zero.
No. And it's so true. Like in crisis, I remember when I first got divorced, a girlfriend of mine said to me, what's bogging you down the most? And I said, laundry. She said, okay, I'm coming over to you. I'll be there at this time. She showed up and she spent the entire day doing all of my laundry.
Wow.
I had three little kids. I was totally overwhelmed. It was in the throes of a crisis. And I mean, I can still picture her sitting in the room just folding and folding and folding. And she didn't even interact with me most of the day. It wasn't like we were sitting around chatting. Like, she knew that I needed space.
Space, yep.
And she literally was there to do a task. And I will never forget that. I will forever remember what a gift that day was to me. And I should probably tell her that. Lori Butler, if you're listening, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, I just said, we had the same thing. The first weekend when we were down, our very first weekend down in Richmond, and coming home, sometime on that Sunday, our pastor called us and said, where do you keep your key? My wife has organized some people and we're going to come over. And I never have found out who all, I just remember came back and the house was just, it has not looked that good since. But they had the Christmas, they finished decorating the Christmas trees because we didn't have had a chance to finish the Christmas tree.
Right.
They finished the Christmas tree. Everything was out, and there was a card from that all these women signed for my wife, and there was a card that all these men signed for me. Mm-hmm. And they just were sitting out, and I just remember walking in that dark house to that Christmas tree.
Right.
And it just took my breath away.
And how simple.
How simple, yeah. And that's what they said.
And then also, you know that even though it's been 21 years, those people still feel like, oh, remember when we did that?
Yeah.
You know, we did this last week with one of our girls. It was the first anniversary of her passing. Her name was June. And we, Scott, I was down in North Carolina with Scott, and we went around and did a couple of random acts of kindness. And after the first one, we bought a gift card and then handed it to the cashier at the grocery store and gave it to her. And she was so stunned and she felt so good. She was like, really? And so we got in the car and he's like, said something like, I'm addicted. Like, we need to do more of that. Like, watching her expression. And so we did a few more. But I think people forget that just these small kindnesses for people are lasting. You know, like, I guarantee that woman, that young girl at the grocery store who'd been dealing with people all day the day before Thanksgiving, will never forget the time this random couple came in and did that for her. And it's the same thing we can do for our families. It doesn't have to be the biggest thing. I don't know what to do. Show up at their house with a coffee. I'm sure you need this.
Yeah.
You know, or I don't know, show up with something small. It doesn't have to be this big, huge. I remember when we do lead volunteer training, one of the things, the first exercise is make, you know, use on a post-it note, they have to write something someone did for them when they were in a crisis that mattered. And they're always small things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the exercise is like, see, it's not like, and then Ted showed up and wrote a check for my mortgage for the year.
Right.
You know, it's
none
like,
of that.
They came and they swept my front porch.
Yeah.
But I needed to put decorations out and I needed to do that. Or they showed up with a meal and, you know, just small, small things. And I think sometimes people get lost in like, but I don't know what to do. Just be kind. What would you want someone to do for you?
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want their mortgage paid for a year? But, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can go down the list. I could probably give you a list of 35 people that gave us meals because it just, and what they brought, because it was always just like, you'd go into the refrigerator, what do we have to do? The kids would be just like, what are we having tonight? And we would know who, and there were certain people we really liked.
I'm sure.
We really liked, they'd be like, she brought a meal. Oh, let's go. Let's get
one. Come on, let's get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We need to take a quick break. Andy Ayers here, the executive director with the Fairy Godmother Project, fairygodmotherproject.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:33.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Andy Arizin this morning, the executive director of the Fairy Godmother Project, fairygodmotherproject.org. And this is good stuff to talk about this, just because it's the kind of thing, as we talk about just dealing with what families deal with, especially during the holidays, because like you say, the holidays are here and everyone's schedules change. But if you're in, especially if you're have just been diagnosed,
right,
there's no changes,
right,
and
absolutely.
this is what you'll do. Maybe if Christmas falls on a day that you have treatment, maybe the day gets moved.
Right, but it doesn't mean that it's weeks break.
No, there's
because
no,
it can't.
There's no walking away from it.
Right, exactly.
And that's the thing. And especially early on, I can remember just waking up and you just think. And I think this happens anytime there's a life changing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Is this really happening?
Right. And it's the first thought of your day. You're like,
yeah.
Oh, man, this is real.
Right. You're as you have slept, you have been away from it. But then all of a sudden you wake up and just the sick kind of feeling that you get or this is what we're looking at today.
The dread.
Yeah. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there are days for the average person where it's hard to get up and get going, you know. But then you think about adding to that the reality of being a parent that is potentially having to hold your child down later in the day so that they can have blood drawn or so that they can get medicine or they can, you know, I mean,
have a bone marrow.
Yeah, all of those things.
Those huge.
You know, I often think about the moments as a parent with healthy children that are stressful and hard, you know, and I mean, like my kids are hilarious and they would kill me if they were listening, but they're not. So
they're not,
okay.
So we can talk.
But
open.
I mean, we had situations with just like basic getting a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, they had to be like held down by multiple people. And, you know, one of my girls kicked the nurse because she was giving her sister a shot, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the stress that I felt in that moment, you know, and then my son is sitting next to me like, what is happening right now? Like he was horrified by all the situation. And that stress that I felt was for me in that moment was intense and it was hard and it was awful as a mom. And it's one of the things I remember most. But our families face that kind of stuff on the regular.
Yeah.
Not probably the crazy sister kicking, but still the like stress of medical stress of dealing with hard things with your kids that you are not optional.
No. And then you never know what the result is going to be. It's
right.
not like you're going and getting a vaccine and then you go home and maybe my arm is sore.
Right.
It's not like that you get a shot or you get some blood drawn and the results come back and now you don't have this type of leukemia. You have this type of leukemia
right.
and it's a different kind of treatment.
Right.
Those kind of things.
Right. Or, I mean, it's constant, right? So there's the dread and then also like scan time, all those things for the family. There's just so much stress and trauma
you
involved
wait,
in it.
And you just sit and you just wait.
Yes.
And you wait. And you wait.
Right.
And you wait. On the other hand, and I look back and there are certain things that we just found so humorous my son in particular was just very good when he would get a shot that he and the nurse had this thing and she would say 1, 2, 3 and then he'd say ouch and
okay.
she'd give the shot
there
so
you go.
Anytime I get a shot now in my mind I got a flu shot the other day and I thought to myself 1, 2, 3 ouch
yeah.
I didn't think the guy who's giving it to me needed to hear
right.
that
right you're like excuse me could you say 1, 2, 3 ouch for me
yeah
he'd be like no
or he would go through especially when they would do the bone marrow tests
uh-huh.
it was the doctors would tell us it was very painful the nurse would just say it is so painful but we'd say John are you okay how was it did it hurt and his standard line and anytime did it hurt was not really but kind of a lot.
So
we use that now. It's become something. Did it
sort of like your family thing?
It's a family thing, not really, but kind of a lot.
Yeah, and you think about that too. So like, my head goes to like, so much of what is in that statement, right? Like, not really. I want to keep my parents so they're not worried.
Yeah,
but actually, in reality. Yes,
yeah.
you know,
oh,
but
was.
Like,
but
don't this, worry, but yes, you know. And,
you know, it's a second grader telling you these things.
Sweet little second grader.
And in my case, especially in the early days of this, when he had complained that fall about being tired in school, and I'd had just had enough.
Right.
And it was just like, you want to come home early, I'm not going to come and get you, and when Mrs. Rogers from Smith Station called one day, I mean, this still just haunts me.
Sure.
She called me one day and said, John needs to come home again. And I said, I'm not going to come and get him. And when he came home, I sat him down and I said, you're going to go to bed earlier tonight. You're going to start going to bed earlier. And all of those things. And so the day he was diagnosed, I just wept.
I'm sure.
In his room and just kept saying, I am so sorry. I am so sorry.
But, you know, you don't know.
What you don't know.
Yeah.
It is.
And it's
true.
It's a thing. But it's so true. And I think as parents, our head, unless you're me, because I deal with it every day, mm-hmm. right? Your head doesn't go to cancer.
No.
And, you know, everyone's kind of snotty and tired and, you know,
yeah.
and like, so go to bed earlier. Like, that's, of
yep.
course, you know, but it's hard to find that balance, too. Like, for parents, that if there's parents listening, like, it doesn't mean that every time your kid's tired, you need to go, oh, my God, it's leukemia.
It's right.
But at the same time, you know, like, so it's hard to find that balance. You know, my kids will have an ache or a pain, and I think, like, oh, God, I know that with this kid, when they were diagnosed, this, you know, and then I'm like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
pull back.
Yep.
You got to live your life. And, you know, just you can't live that way. But at the same time, the fact that 21 years later, you still kind of feel a little bit of guilt for that.
Oh, it does. And especially now between December 1st and the 5th, when he was actually the 5th was when they diagnosed him. I can tell you every day where we were and what we were doing. And our kids even remember it because
yeah.
at the time on the 4th that year was a Sunday.
Okay.
And that was when he was told you've got to go to Richmond. And so my wife was not able to go see my daughter in a church Christmas play that she was one of the leads to, and yeah. she to this day will talk about Mom wasn't there.
Yeah.
And
isn't that interesting, because how many other times was Mom there?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's the one time that you remember, yeah.
But just a lot of little things. And like we talked about little things of what,
yes.
the day I had to go down, the day we were going to meet with the doctor, someone said, I will drive you down. But my wife was already down there. And I said, I'll be fine. He said, I don't think you should drive an hour down to Richmond.
Oh, my gosh. What a gift that is,
so
right?
He drove down, and then we ended up, and I can't ride. I didn't ride back with him. He just dropped me off and said, you know, I think John was going to be in the hospital a little bit. So she came home that night and was going to go back down. And he said, you two can come back up and together. But so he basically drove me down and then drove back up by himself.
Right. And how nice.
And those little things.
Yes. Nice to be able to drive back together so that you weren't both driving separately.
Separately, right. And
that
you can kind of talk things through.
Yeah, and or not talk, but at least you had the comfort of the other person there.
Yeah.
Whatever it needed to be.
Yeah.
yeah. Oh, that's a nice, I mean, never even thought about that, but how nice is that, that someone would just do that?
Yeah, and I was certainly, and accepting things were really hard for me.
Yes, I was just going to say, that's one of the things that's so hard for families in general is the accepting.
I did, yeah. I kept, we're fine. We're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And it's like, no, actually, you're not.
Yeah.
right? You know?
Yeah.
And then I think what I always try and say to our families is that they're giving a gift to the volunteers
mm-hmm.
By allowing them to do these things. You know, like, especially our volunteers, if they're signed up to help, they want to help. Nobody
yeah.
signs up and becomes a volunteer if they don't want, you know, I mean, sure, people sign up and then they don't actually engage. But those that are engaged that are saying, I'll do this, they want to do it. So letting them do that helps them just as much as it helps the family. Like, it feels so good to give.
And that's just what somebody said to me.
Yes.
Probably about the 10th time I had said, you know what, we're good. And they said, you're taking away from
yep.
us
mm-hmm.
the feeling and the blessing that we get. We want to help you.
Right.
And
it's such an important thing to remember because
yeah.
no one, people that care about you and other families that have been in that situation and the ones that currently are, they want to fix it and they can't. They cannot fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But they can do these things if you allow it. And if you don't allow it, I mean, I don't know. I always said one of our moms, she allowed everything we offered. She was like, okay, if you're offering that, why wouldn't I? She's the only family we've ever had that did that. And I mean, every single thing she'd be like, okay, like we did for a while before COVID, we did house tours where they could sign up and we would have volunteers go into their home and do just different things. I mean, she had people make photo books. She was like, okay, here's the photos on my, you know, put it on Shutterfly or whatever it was, you know, and she had them organize her linen closet. She had them do, and she was like, I mean, if people are willing to help, but other families couldn't, weren't able to get there and say, okay, I can accept this. I do need the help, you know, and there's nothing wrong with taking the help. You know, no one's going, wow, they're so greedy. No, these are our services. This is what we offer. Please take it. We have the people. We have the funding. Like, please take those services.
No, they were. The other thing that was really was really nice, especially in the early days when we were in at MCV down in Richmond, were people that came to visit. But the important thing was so often people would stay too long.
Oh.
And it would bother John. He would just put the sheet over his head and just say, go away to people, which I would just be.
Right.
At first, I was mortified by, and then I thought, he's in second grade.
Right.
And
isn't that an interesting perspective shift for you as a parent, right? Like, we as parents have this expectation that our kids behave in a certain way.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're like, wait a minute.
He's sick.
You know what?
Here.
Why don't you go away?
Go away. And so I have taken from that. It sometimes is nice to go down and see someone who's when you're away, just to have a familiar face at the door, but don't stay.
Right.
Don't stay. Maybe you do drive a couple of hours and only stay 10 minutes.
Yep.
Maybe that's what you do.
One of our moms, one of our lead volunteers and I did that one time. A child was flown to Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached out to her and I said, do you want to drive to Charlottesville? And it was late at night.
Yeah.
And we drove to Charlottesville. We walked into the hospital. We sent a text to the mom. She came out. We hugged her. And we turned around and left. And that was it.
Perfect. Yeah.
But for us, like, it was important for us to get our hands on her. Her child had terminal cancer. And it was a really bad situation. And he got, you know, medevaced. And it was awful. But we thought, we can't change it. There's nothing we can do. But we both had, it was like middle of the week. We both were able to get away from home and make the drive, and so we did. And
that was exactly what my friend had, or my wife had, about five different friends. They all came down together.
Oh.
They all came down. They prayed with her.
Mm-hmm.
They said hi to John, and they were gone.
Right.
That's what they did.
And that's probably all your wife needed.
Yeah. Oh, she to this day
because
we'll talk about how.
Because she shouldn't have had to, like, you know, like someone that's dealing with that shouldn't have to, like, entertain people.
Right.
And that's sort of what it ends up.
Yeah.
Even if that's not the expectation of the person visiting, that's how it feels to the person who's at the hospital, you know, like entertaining them. Yeah.
Andy Ayers here, the executive director with the Fairy Godmother Project, fairygodmotherproject.org. Check them out and see how you can get involved as volunteering or volunteering financially. Quick break, and we'll wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy Ayers here, formerly known as Andy McConnell, the executive director with the Fairy Godmother Project. I think I'm getting used to it.
Oh, good.
It was just so easy to say your name before.
I know.
And this is a little bit. I'll get there.
Okay. Good.
I didn't want to be whiny today and do all of that, so I had coached myself. Don't do that.
That's good. You've done a great job.
So okay.
I mean, it makes me feel more like it's actually my name.
Yeah.
I haven't, you know.
I've seen it on Facebook, so I thought that's what she wants
to
go by.
Well, obviously, if it's on Facebook.
It's true.
Real, yeah.
It's very real. Before we get out of here, and I think one of the great things you talked about, and I think is probably a good way to wrap it up, is, especially with the holidays, is let people grieve and deal with it how they deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, if they don't ask you what do you think, then maybe don't say what you think.
Right. I mean, I think that it doesn't even necessarily have to be about grief.
No, it can
Let's give a life lesson.
Yes.
If someone doesn't ask,
yeah,
they don't really want your opinion.
Mm-mm.
At all.
No.
Yeah, I remember years ago I was in therapy and my therapist said to me, how about for a week, try not giving advice. I'm like, but everyone asks me. And she's like, I know they're asking you, but maybe try next time someone asks you for advice, turning it back to them to see what they think. Like, well, gosh, what do you think?
Yeah.
And I came back and I'm like, oh my God, my week was so much less stressful because all these people, like, I didn't have to solve anyone's problems.
Right.
You know, and maybe they wanted me to solve them, but I don't think they did, even though they gave me the impression they did. So, yeah. Let's not solve anyone's problems or judge how they're handling things.
That and the other thing, and we haven't talked about this because we've talked about it a lot, and I really learned it from you and many of the people that come in, that for children that have passed away, it's okay to say their name, and it's wanted.
It is. Actually, I'm listening. I read a lot, but I'm listening to a book. And just as I was pulling in here today, there was a line in the book that said, they say people die twice. The last breath they take and the last time someone speaks their name. Mm. And so it's important for us as an organization and for the families that we serve that we make sure that doesn't happen, that we keep that child alive in that way. And so we do. We say all the names as much as we can and talk about the kids because it is important. And I mean, I've talked before on air about a good friend of mine whose son died in the 90s. He was hit by a car. And every time I see her, I talk about him by name. And I might be one of the last people that still does all these years later. And it's important.
Yeah.
It's important for those to know that their child is not forgotten.
No, I just think of all the families. And I think the very first one the person on air that I dealt with and didn't know her at all at the time was Gwen Braswell.
Okay. Yeah.
And then since then, through you, so many families. And because I always was afraid, how do I deal with this? And I mean, I remember for the first half hour of that show of going every which way
around it,
of just your son and just trying. And then I realized, and sure, she said something to me about doing that. And then since then, it's been universal.
Right.
It's a good thing to remember.
It is. And I think sometimes even asking the question of someone, you know, do you want to talk about so-and-so?
Yep.
Sometimes that in itself is one of the biggest, think about it, if you're looking for gifts this season, one of the biggest gifts you can give to a bereaved family, not just pediatric cancer, but any bereaved family. So many of those parents would do anything to be able to just talk about their child.
Right.
And there comes a point where people stop asking. It's been so long. Surely they don't want to. Of course they do. How could they not?
Right. And even talk about things in the current times of how old they'd be, what they'd be doing, and jobs, what were they interested in, all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you do think of that.
Yes. Oh, and they constantly think of it. I saw something once that said, when a family loses a child, they don't just grieve the child at the age they died; they grieve them at every age for what they could have been.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember.
Andy Ayers, Executive Director with the Fairy Godmother Project, fairygodmotherproject.org. Andy, great show. Thank you.
Thank you.
For coming in and talking about all of this. And you sort of got to, you've always wanted to interview me, and you sort of.
Sort of dead. Next time, I'm totally taking over.
That scares me because it would happen. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, same to you.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
Andy Ayers, the Executive Director of the Fairy Godmother Project. That's it. Stay safe. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.